welcome to Podcaster Meets World. This is episode 3. I am, of course, Steve, Joe, and Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
We are back. We hope everyone listened to the first 2 episodes, because we're finally releasing them now. Yay! And the plan is to release 2 a month for the next couple of months, basically part 1 and part 2 of each season. As I said, this is season 2, part 1. Season 2 had 23 overall episodes, so we'll be doing episodes 1 to 12 here in this episode, and then 13 to 23 in the next episode of the podcast. Season 2 of Boy Meets World. Wow. This is completely different. Like, I know that they were going to high school. I knew that, but, like, didn't realize transitioning was as fast as it is, because the first season, he's pretty much a kid.
Yeah, it's tonally different than the first season.
Oh, yeah.
There's a totally different tone. There's very middle school-y styles to it. You lose Minkus. Yep. You get Topanga's regular cast. You get... Yep. What's the teacher's name?
Mr. Turner.
Yes, Mr. Turner. I don't know why that's so difficult to remember. I have family with that last name. So, but I love the character in the show. So
yeah, I love the characters in this season, and I love the characters in the first season as well. But this season, man, this I forgot how they pretty much jump right into the high school thing. And the fact that high school is whatever it is, 7th grade to 12th, whatever, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. Like, okay, so this is
middle school is typically 7th, 8th,
yeah.
And then high school is like 9 through 12 typically.
Yeah, yeah.
But this looks more like a 7 through 12, like what my high school was.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that, Kat. Yes, I heard him. Yeah, and it's a little strange having it be that much, because for me, elementary school was K through 6. Junior high was, because we called it junior high in Massachusetts, we didn't call it middle school. It was 7 to 9, and then high school was 10 to 12, but I never went to past 7th grade in Massachusetts, because I ended up in Kentucky, and in Kentucky, middle school was 6th grade to 8th grade, and then 9 to 12 for the 4 years of high school. Yeah, this would just be weird for me, having 7th and 8th graders in with the freshman, the sophomore, the junior, and the seniors.
Well, see, it got really weird later on in my school district that I grew up in, because then eventually they made elementary school K through 5,
mm-hmm.
and then they made 6, 7, and 8 be middle school,
right?
And then they made the funny thing is my school, they actually brought 6th graders in and put them in the basement because it's the only place they had left, so they had like 6 through 12 in the same school.
Oh my god.
So they kind of kept the 6th graders isolated to like 3 classrooms.
Oh my god.
And yeah, so it was kind of strange, to be honest. And then like a couple years later they moved them back out, and I think now the school is like, I want to say they're 9 through 12 now. I don't think they even have, but I could be wrong. I'm not, it may not have changed, but there's only 2 high schools left in my district now, so there used to be like 6.
Yeah.
Where I grew up anyway. Yeah. Flint, you know.
Yeah, the place that doesn't have the drinkable water.
Exactly. The place where no one lives now.
Yeah. Except your mom.
Yeah, my dad still has the address too.
Yeah.
The mailing address of Flint. He doesn't live in Flint, but...
Right, yeah. Yeah. All right, so episode 1, season 2. Corey, Sean, and Topanga are starting high school. Eric makes them a guide to John Adams High School on the condition that they don't speak to him during school hours. However, a simple manual does not make Corey's first day perfect, as he quickly runs into the school bullies, led by Harley Kiner. When he accidentally gets Harley into trouble with the new high school principal, it may be both Corey's first and last day of high school. Yeah, I specifically left that out because I was not sure how they were, like, once I saw Jonathan Turner, Mr. Turner, the teacher played by Anthony Tyler Quinn, I was like, okay, so obviously it's not going to be Feeny teaching them, but, you know, how do you not have William Daniels on the show because he meant so much to them in the first season? And, of course, he's acting principal of the high school,
which is quite humorous.
It's very cool. Because you get to see a side of Mr. Feeny that we didn't see in the first season. You get to see him...
stern.
Well, yeah, there's that. But you also get to see him interacting with other teachers. I don't remember, and we just did this a few months ago, I don't remember in season one Mr. Feeny interacting with many other teachers in the middle school setting, if any at all. Like, maybe in passing, but, you know, the fact that he's the acting principal now, and, you know, obviously... the teachers kind of work for him, work for the school board kind of a thing. Very, very, very cool. What did you think of Back to School, the first episode of the second season?
At first, I really wasn't sure what to think. I mean, I enjoyed it when I first saw it. Mm-hmm. And then the whole introduction of Harley and his gruesome twosome.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I was like, this is going to get strange. Was like, okay, but you know, they had Feeny and then he had a totally different role, so he kind of got to stretch his legs a little bit more. And yeah, I mean, the whole school bully, I mean, I can relate to it because when I was in middle school, mm-hmm. I got picked on something terrible because, you know, quiet nerd, introvert, got a lot of the same attention. However, I didn't get threatened to be beat up or anything, but they would just mess with me. So mine was more of a bus problem than a school problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You notice any Kevin Smith characters in this season? That's not a schooner, it's a sailboat. Ethan Suplee was in Mallrats. Ethan, who plays Frankie in this. That was... yep.
Yeah, I mean, I was familiar with these guys. I've not actually watched Kevin Smith's early stuff because it's boring to me.
The next episode we had was called Pairing Off. Corey realizes that everyone at school, even Sean, has paired off into couples. When he unexpectedly discovers one of Eric's secrets, he forces him to give advice on how to get a girl to say hi. However, taking advice from Eric may prove to be a mistake. I love this, because this is the episode where they end up at the poetry reading. And basically the entire cast ends up there and they all end up making out. I'm like, oh my god. But yeah, it really does suck when all of your friends end up pairing off and having relationships and you're still the single person. And thankfully that's not me anymore. But it's one of those things where I've lived a life of being that. I've lived a life of being Corey at this point in time.
I was... pretty much single all the way through my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. So not for lack of trying, but yeah, it just was not very fun.
So the pairing off, I understand. And again, it's an interesting lesson to show people. Next episode, Notorious. Eric is going out with a senior who uses him to get what she wants. Meanwhile, Sean wants to make a name for himself, so he changes a headline in the school paper to say that new principal is a weenie. But when a witness places Corey at the scene of the crime, he must choose between turning in his friend or facing suspension. Okay, the cool thing about this one, this is the debut of Jason. This is the debut of Jason Marsden as Jason, Eric's best friend.
This is him. Ooh, looking hot. Didn't you just do a guest spot on Baywatch?
Thank you, Jason, but I think I'm just a little too mature.
Oh, stop. I'll tell you, though, if they do Baywatch, the next generation, you're in. Hey, Jess. Hey, you're not shooting hoops just like that, are you?
Oh, I got a bail in the game today. Something kind of came up.
Oh, let me guess. And I'm just pulling this out of the air here. A certain senior girl named Vampira?
Desiree?
Oh, that's her day name.
I have to go to the mall with her.
You have to?
Yeah, so she can show me what she wants for her birthday.
Right. My condolences on the loss of your son.
Thank you, Jason. And in lieu of flowers, please send donations to the Foundation for the Terminally Whipped.
This makes this show even better for me now, because you basically have Batman and Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades being best buds, and some of the lines that were written for Jason.
Well, and he crossed over between this show with
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Like, his character transitioned over there.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I watched all the shows that were on TGIF back in the day.
You can watch them all again, too, because they're all on Hulu right now still.
I know, I've been watching them.
Yes, exactly. So this one is basically, you know, being loyal kind of a thing, which is obviously a good lesson and everything else.
It's a lesson on, should you cave to save your friend, knowing that what he did was wrong?
Right.
You know, but you don't want to turn him in. Or, you know, it kind of puts you in this little sticky situation where you're kind of trying to figure out if you should or not, even if it's out of character for something you would do.
Yeah.
It would be a tough choice just from my own perspective. Like, if I were in his shoes, I wouldn't really know where to go with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, I liked the way they handled it. I liked, you know, how at the end Mr. Feeney basically said, as the principal, I hoped you would, but as your teacher, I'm glad you didn't, you know, kind of rat out your friend kind of a thing. Because, you know, you have to be loyal to some people at times. It's like, We then have the Grapes of Wrath episode, me and Mr. Jode.
That's Grapes of Wrath.
Yes, it is.
That's a real book. It's a two-pounder. And it looks like you're very near the end.
Page 582.
I am impressed. I'm impressed to the point of who are you?
And now I'm on 581.
You're reading it backwards?
Yeah, see, this way I already know what's going to happen, which makes everything that happens before it make sense. What do you think?
Pretty good. Not as good as your idea of taking all 30 showers on the first of the month.
Yeah, I was too clean in February.
When Mr. Turner lies to Corey's class about an upcoming test, Corey attempts to use what he learned in The Grapes of Wrath by launching a student protest. However, he soon learns the lesson is hidden in the lessons hidden in the novel, and there is a price to pay for doing what you think is right. So there's a huge difference between migrant workers getting, you know, going on protest and getting what they deserve versus students not being able to take a test. I like Corey's gumption in this, but, like, come on. I know he's still learning, but jeez.
There are consequences.
Oh, yeah.
For one's actions.
Absolutely.
And
that's
the life lesson for everyone.
Yep.
Everything you do can and may come back to bite you in the rear.
Yep. Especially nowadays, anything you do and say on social media can really come back to bite you in the ass.
Especially if you touched him.
Ew. I don't want a chocolate pretzel, thank you very much.
That was an odd transition, but okay.
It's a Mallrats thing.
Yeah, I've not watch that.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't resonate with you, but it'll resonate with other people that might listen to this, maybe. I don't know.
The whole five Kevin Smith fans?
There are more fans of Kevin Smith than that. You know better.
I know, they're online cinema geeks.
Oh my god. Oi.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, Very, very shameless plug. Go listen to Cinema Geeks. They watch the movies so you don't have to.
They have a whole retrospective on Kevin Smith, so go watch them or listen.
Something. Next episode is The Uninvited. Corey thinks he's cool when he's invited to his first high school party by the exclusive-minded Melissa. But surprisingly, a more popular Sean is not on the guest list. Now, he will learn the true meaning of friendship. Okay, so this one, I was kind of curious about where this was going to go, because I remembered this episode, but I didn't remember this episode. Come to find out that her parents basically nixed the guest list, and Sean was the first one off of it. And Corey comes to the realization when he gets there, he's like, "It's a geek party!" And he turns to her and he's like, "Explain yourself." And she says, "Well, all the cool people, my parents don't like them. You know, all the bad boys and all this and all that, my parents will not let them be here." So, what I love here in this episode is how excited Corey is and how nonchalant Sean is. Like, Sean's like, "Okay, I didn't get invited. So what? It's just a party." And Corey's like, "But you have to be just absolutely distraught that you're not going to this party." Not really.
And then he realized why he wasn't why he didn't get invited.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "No."
Yep. The next one is Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf? This was a weird episode.
A lot of their high school Halloween episodes were really strange anyway, though.
Okay.
There's one even later on that's basically like Scream, and it's got Jennifer Love Hewitt in it as another student, but one that Eric likes, and they're in the detention hall. And everybody's slowly being picked off. So they've got a couple of weird Halloween ones. However, I will say that they're better than what we got, I think, in Girl Meets World.
Yeah, the first, like, what I like this about...
This one is still a little strange, though.
Yeah, this one was strange. The Girl Meets World stuff, which obviously we'll get to close to the end of the podcast series here, what I like about that is you basically have Augie narrating most of it in pretty much all three of the Girl Meets Terror episodes. I don't remember the Halloween episodes for this, so this is going to be super fresh for me going back and watching them.
But you get Phyllis Diller in this episode.
Yes, you do.
It's the crazy fortune teller lady.
Yes, very, very cool. And then there's Wake Up, Little Corey. When the class cannot understand Much Ado About Nothing, Mr. Turner launches a new controversial project. He asks his students to videotape each other with their views on love and sex. However, when Corey and Topanga stay overnight at the school to finish their project, they themselves become a scandal story, angering Topanga. Oh boy.
Yeah, the cruelness of kids in school.
Oh, yeah.
Taking something innocent and turning it into something rotten.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it sounds good. Kind of like news.
That's so fake.
Yep. Just like this story.
About this man named Brady. Oops. Yep. Sorry. Wrong show.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed the fact that they were doing this videotape project because it kind of brings back memories of just doing stuff for college and just stuff that I used to just go around with a camcorder when I was a kid and kind of just film just for fun. But the whole, the scandal story,
I understand why it happened, and Corey and, I get, Corey wanting to be the cool kid and everything else, but obviously... looking at Topanga's angle on it is like, oh, well, I want my good name back and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And I mean, he even said at the beginning before Sean was... basically, Sean prodded him into it. He's like, "But Corey, you're cool now. People are thinking this." Before that happened, Corey was like, "Nothing happened. We just slept there." It's, And honestly... even though Corey is in high school now, he's still not that... He's not close to being a teenager yet. I didn't start thinking about girls till I was, like really thinking about girls till I was 13 or 14. Maybe 12 and a half. But, I mean, they're still too young. Like,
I started thinking about it about that age, but yeah. Even then, I was more concerned with, like, having fun and...
Mm-hmm.
I just started getting into, like, video games, and it started getting into graphic design and my mm-hmm. own websites. And so, like, I was in my own land in my head most of the time. So, much like I am now, which is not necessarily a good thing when you're a grown man. But,
yeah. Next up, we have Band on the Run. Corey and Sean pretend they're in a band so they can impress girls. This inspires Alan to connect with his former bandmates. But while this creates some problems for him, Corey and Sean face a bigger dilemma. They accidentally are booked for the entertainment at the school dance. Oh boy. Yeah, they can't play.
Nope.
So you got Mickey Dolenz, Rick Nielsen, and Billy Vera as Larry, Gordy, and Norm, which are Alan's buddies. This is another one of those episodes that I enjoy the parent storyline more than the kid's storyline.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Just because I can see the perspective of the dad being like, yeah, and then they're like, no.
No, exactly. Why does everybody else sound great and I suck? That's because you've always sucked at it. And then episode 9, we have Fear Strikes Out.
Makeout party.
Uh-huh. Corey and Sean go to...
See, those are some of those things that just never actually happen.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell. Like, it's a movie thing. Like, more than anything that actually happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is that, and it's also just this stereotype. It's this supposed trend. It's this supposed trend of every high school and college party is going to have a makeout session in it, kind of a thing. I am glad it was Topanga in the closet with him. Not.
It's only fitting. I mean.
Yeah, obviously. And then we've got episode 10, Sister Teresa. Corey wins a girl's heart with a little politeness, but he better stay respectful because she's Harley Kiner's kid sister, Teresa, also known as TK, who never takes no for an answer.
That was an interesting twist that they threw into that. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it coming. And it was something different to do.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the leather jacket, her attitude, and the TK kept coming up, I'm like, it has to be Harley's sister.
See, I didn't even put two and two together to begin with. That was like an afterthought. It wasn't something that resonated with me, so I would have never thought about it.
Hmm. Wow.
Not until it was revealed in the actual show.
Yeah. The actress that plays TK, Danielle Harris, oh wow, has she been in a lot of stuff. But it's one of those things where she was Molly Tyden in Roseanne back in the 90s.
Yeah, funny enough, I didn't watch Roseanne back in the 90s, but I watch it now. Like the new one.
The new one, yeah, I tried. It
keeps pretty... in tune. So
yeah,
I don't necessarily hate it, but there's no I don't know. I think it fits better now than some of the other revivals.
Yeah. Okay, so we've obviously seen TK here. We've seen Danielle Harris as Harley's sister, Teresa. Had you ever watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
I think I've seen it once.
Remember the sister in there, Melissa?
Vaguely.
Same actress.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's her top thing that she's known for on IMDb, is that movie, The Last Boy Scout with Bruce Willis, and Halloween 2 and Halloween 4. But no, I like this one. I thought this was interesting, kind of seeing the whole Kiner family deal, and basically, you know, no more baboon, because, and they don't even tell you right away, like, you should get it immediately why Harley's being nice to Corey. Like, he's actually calling him by his name and not, you know, Johnny Baboon and all of that. And I had forgotten when Girl Meets World started, when Harley showed back up as the janitor, I had forgotten about Johnny Baboon. Like, they kept mentioning it in Girl Meets World. I'm like, when did that happen? I don't remember that. But
yeah, I remember when they called him that.
Oh, yeah.
It was a nice nod.
Yep. Absolutely.
And the last one we're going to talk about today, or the last two here, because I think we are doing 11 and 12. I'm losing my mind, folks. I just really, really am. The Beard... Yeah, the Beard and Turnaround. So we have The Beard. Oh, boy. When Sean cannot decide between two girls, he asks Corey to date one of them while he gets to know the other. However, Corey falls for the girl he's supposed to, quote-unquote, hold for Sean. Yeah, this is not a good idea.
There's two things with this. One, you get the debut of Chubbies,
mm-hmm.
which was a staple of the show through towards the end.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Before it became something else, while they were sitting in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Then you have this whole situation, which is just wrong on so many levels. It's like, pick one, and then just leave it.
Yep. Make a decision.
Make a decision.
And how we're ending this part one of season two here is with episode 12 is Turnaround. A turnaround dance gives girls a chance to ask guys out, but that does not take any pressure off of Corey, who now worries about who'll ask him, if anyone. Very unfortunately for Corey, it may turn out to be a dance abundant in rejection.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. Yeah. So, yeah, this was interesting. I don't remember ever going to turnaround dances.
Nope.
I don't remember that at all.
I went to a few dances in high school, and they were the only times I ever went. Once I went to homecoming my senior year. Funny enough, before I met my wife, I'd asked this particular person out who didn't even go to our school. And then a couple days before the dance, like, I'd met her and I was like, man, I should have asked her, because I got to know her decently well and I was like, really liked her. And then we both ended up with different dates for the homecoming. And then by prom, we were going together. And then the next year when she had her homecoming, I went to that. So that's the only three I've ever been to.
Wow. Yeah, I went to a couple of them. Hell, I was actually my high school claim to fame is I was the only guy on the junior prom committee. So
nice.
It was me and five other girls. So there's that.
Hey, you want to hear something really cool?
What's that?
Same night we had prom for my senior year, they had a carnival in town the same night.
Oh, wow.
And So get this, my prom was so lame. They had a dance floor that was exactly 10 by 10. Mm-hmm. Like in feet, and it was maybe it was less than that, maybe it was like 8 by 8 or something, but anyways, it was still insanely small. Nobody was on it, and they had finger food instead of actual food that they were supposed to have, and the music sucked. And so we sat down with some of my friends for about a half hour, and then we left, and we actually went to that carnival.
Oh wow.
Paid $6 parking. We didn't have to pay for anything the whole night because we were in our prom dress. My wife was in her prom dress and I was in my suit. And we just got on everything for free all night because the carnival was dead. And they were like, wow. Hey, here you go. And then they eventually conned me into I did a photo thing where they'll print it on a t-shirt, like matching t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that after I got them to talk down the price because I didn't have any money at the end of the night. But yeah, so it was great. We got those. I think the last one got thrown out like a year and a half, 2 years ago because it got water damaged. But they were like old shirts. But anyways, yeah, it was funny because we were dressed up in prom clothes. We got to go on the carnival stuff for free. So we actually ended up having an awesome night just going around doing that, riding rides.
Very cool. Yeah, the I was never a carnival person. I don't know.
Carnivals, between, but that's because I go to the fairs that are in town when they have the carnivals every summer.
Right, right.
It was always a staple of my childhood, so I go and I take my children. We don't actually go on anything because the prices are so high. We actually go for like the animals and like all the little exhibits that they have.
Right.
Which is just more than enough worth it because, two, my kids are so small, I couldn't get on any of the rides anyway. So.
Very cool, very cool. The first half of season two here, I'm really digging it. I think it's great. I think it's really funny how they're juggling everything. It's not just Corey and Sean and Mr. Feeny. It's not just Corey, Sean, Topanga, and Mr. Feeny. It's all these other things. Those two kids, the ones that kept getting, you know, the first lines, and then Corey and Sean will come in and basically say the same lines, and those kids will get hit. The two nerds, mm-hmm. the two geek, you know, kind of felt sorry for them. I love the lessons that they're teaching us here, because this is definitely, now, maybe not, you might not, you may eventually, but this is a show, if Karen and I were going to have kids, this is definitely a show I would show them. Because regardless of any language or any other thing, and the language isn't really that bad at all, really. Every now and then it might be, but very, very rarely, because it is family television. But a lot of the lessons that were taught here are lessons that every kid should learn, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of lessons in the show, and I would, we watched Girl Meets World with the kids too, so I mean it just seems like there's more it's not as Disney-fied, so like things aren't as hidden as well. Mm-hmm. I would say to where certain things may bother my children specifically, but the show as a whole is not bad by any means.
Yeah, no, not at all. Season 2 is shaping up to be very, very fun. I can't wait to see what more adventures Mr. Turner has. I really can't wait. I don't think it's this season. Is it next season? Season 3 that his buddy comes in, the other teacher?
I want to say so.
I think.
Because that's when Sean ends up with Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. They have that other teacher that's got the AV department.
Yep, yep, yep.
It may be that, or it may be the second half of the season. I can't recall.
Yeah, I can't recall either.
Yeah, I want to say it's next season, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, this season's shaping up to be much better than the first. I'm enjoying a lot of it more. A lot of it resonates higher on my scale of enjoyability. So,
yeah, there was so many things I laughed at. Like that very first episode, Back to School,
there were so many things I laughed at in this episode. I absolutely love that. As I already said, I love the way, you know, basically the new role Mr. Feeny is playing now. One of the cool things as this season progresses is him constantly questioning Mr. Turner, and they're basically the old world style of Mr. Feeny and the new hip style of Mr. Turner, the way their teaching style is, how that kind of not necessarily clashes, but clashes is the best word I can come up with it. Like basically saying, hey, let them learn this. Let them learn it this way. Let them see if they can retain the information. Let them see what they can do. And because Mr. Feeny has been a teacher so long, he is, you know, kind of set in his ways. And Mr. Turner is now this whole new voice for teaching in a different way. Like, the first episode, like I mentioned, you know, that's the X-Men episode. Because he has them read X-Men, whichever it was. So, yeah. Absolutely love it. Any other closing things you would like to say before we get the heck out of here?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Next time around for the second half of season 2, we're going to do episodes 13 to 23. Cyrano, I Am Not a Crook. Breaking Up is Really, Really Hard to Do. Danger Boy, On the Air, By Hook or By Crook, Wrong Side of the Tracks, Pop Quiz, The Thrilla in Filla, Career Day, and Home. Thank you for joining us here on Podcaster Meets World. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Email us feedback at geekcastradio.com. Put Podcaster Meets World episode, whatever number episode it is, in the subject line. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this, folks. Follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio is the network Twitter. I am at TFG1. Mike, what is your Twitter?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed this second up this well second third something damn I forgot to retype that this third episode of Podcaster Meets World, and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Michael with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
Tune in next Friday night as we continue on our journey through Boy Meets World here on Podcaster Meets World.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.